Good to go. All right. Hey, I'm really blessed to be here. Thank you for inviting me out. I just felt like while we were worshiping, just the word faithfulness coming up, and it's such an incredible thing to see generations just be faithful to shining the light of Jesus Christ in this community. Let me pray, and then we'll get into it. So God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for what you're doing in your church. God, thank you that we get to just adore you, praise you, and sit in wonder of you. God, thank you that you would be so gracious to save a wretch like me. And Lord, I just pray as I share today that you would take it in, God, that you would do something in our hearts, that you would help us to fall more in love with Jesus, and that we'd see your goodness and mercy in a way that we haven't before. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Is it okay if I walk away from the podium? I pace a lot, so there's a lot of things in the way, so I might run into things, but we'll see how we go. So like I said, my name is Ben, and this here is my beautiful wife. I know what you're thinking. How? Like, you look at her and you're like, wow, she is so beautiful. You look at me and you're just like, what happened? My theory is that she was too young to make a better decision. So lucky I married her early. These are my three girls, so Amaya and Amari and Valerie. They are 6, 3, and 1. And we recently, 11 days ago, got a dog named Biscuit. It feels like we've had him for years. It's been chaos and never ending. So that's been a real joy. I love being a dad. My last name is actually Delaney, which might seem a bit odd. It's not pronounced Dalani, it's Delaney. I'm actually full-blooded Chinese-Irishman, just to let you know that. I'm adopted and was adopted at 1 day old. Here's a photo of my family. If you don't know, I'm the one at the bottom left. Just in case you were wondering which one was me. And today what I wanted to share with you guys is a message on the spirit of adoption. And I wanted to just share about my own journey, and hopefully with unpacking it, I would get to see a different light of the way Christ interacts with us. So what is adoption? The word adoption comes from the Greek word euoisia. I'm 100% sure that's not how you pronounce it. Which actually is the relationship God establishes between himself and the Israelites. And so God chooses and adopts a people and says, you are mine. It is also the relationship and the nature and condition of true disciples of Christ. So when we become a Christian and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we aren't just some person. Actually, we become an adoptee, a son, a daughter, in the family of Christ. Now, when we use the word adoption, the people in the Bible would have heard it very differently than our modern world. You see, ancient world adoption was very different than modern adoption. Modern adoption, when we think about it, it's usually someone from a developed country who's quite wealthy will go over to a third world country and help a child and bring them out of poverty and adopt them. Okay? In the ancient world, this was very different. Where the Bible is written in the Roman world, this is quite different. You see, for a Roman, if you were a aristocrat in the Roman world, and you had an idiot for a son, you could actually go, I don't want to give my son, or you didn't have a son, I don't want to give them the money. And so what you would do is that you would actually go out and find someone to adopt. And you would choose someone who was exceptional. You wouldn't choose just like any person. You would choose the best person you could possibly find. And when you adopted them, there are actually some different elements about it. Number one, their old identity was gone. So when you adopt them, they weren't, oh, they used to be this person. They were always yours. Okay? In addition, any debt that they had previously was gone as well. Which I thought was great. You know, you could rack up some bills and then get adopted by some rich person. That would be fantastic. All right. So in those days, if you got adopted by someone else, all your debt previously was gone. Now, this version of adoption is actually much more similar to the ideas of adoption in the Bible than we have of modern adoption. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things are new." So let's have a look at Romans 8:14-16. We'll go through it together. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God." Right, so I'm going to do the classic three-point sermon. Now, no one actually told me how long I have to preach, so we go for like 2, 3 p.m.? Yeah, somewhere there? Okay, great. So number one, God chooses you. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And we see furthermore in Ephesians, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should become holy and without blame before him in love, having been predestined to be adopted as sons by Christ, Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, I always have found this whole idea of adoption quite interesting, because I think it's kind of weird. How do you choose who you adopt? Like, have you ever thought about that? Like, you just rock up to a hospital and just go, "I'll take that one." I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. But let me show you a picture of me as a child. As you can see, I have a ginormous forehead that I kind of grew into when I got older. I kind of think of this as how I'm going to look as an old man, balding, pot belly, wearing a diaper. But I wonder to myself, did my parents walk into the hospital and be like, "I want the ugliest baby I could possibly find"? Now, I can say this because it's my child photos, and I know people say all babies are cute. It's not true. Definitely not true. Like, I think the idea of adoption is really weird, because parents come in and they see this child and they adopt them and they go, "I hope this child is going to be a good child. I hope they don't become an axe murderer." I mean, there's still time, but their hope is that this person will be good. This person, I hope, will do good things. But Jesus Christ, when he chooses you knowing everything about you, which blows my mind. You see, over here, a human parent goes, "Hey, I will adopt you and I hope you are good." God adopts you over here and says, "I know you're bad. I know you have issues. I know you'll fail me. I know you'll disappoint me. And yet, I choose you." It is an incredible thing that God knows everything, our past, present, and future, and yet is still faithful to us, is still chooses to love us. And you know, the interesting thing about that love is that God doesn't love some future version of you. You see, I think so often with our walk with God, we think to ourselves, "When I get it all together, then I'll be right before God. When I get it all together, then God will love me." Can I remind you, on your worst day ever, where you do everything wrong, where you yell and scream at your kids and get an argument with your wife or a husband, when everything goes wrong, you are equally loved as your best day. Like, God has an incredible love towards you. I love Paul in the Bible, that God saved him at his worst. And it goes further in 1 Timothy to say, "But God has mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." You see, the word and the great thing about God is that he knows you and loves you right here, right now. That nothing has changed. And I think even as I've been a Christian since I was 20, so I've been a Christian now for 20 years. Now, I know I look like I'm 12, but it's just the Asian genetics. Okay? And I know you guys, some of you have been following God faithfully for longer than I've been alive. But would you not agree with me that so often the thing that we forget the most is that Christ loves us? Like, it's one of those things that's in our head, but not our heart. It's one of those things that we can cognitively go, yeah, God loves me. But we don't realize that God loves us in a passionate way that we can't imagine. I remember holding Amari, my middle child, when she was about 2. And I was like, hey, do you know I love you? Yeah. I know Dad loves me. I was like, what do you think love means? And she's like, well, I don't know. And for a 2-year-old, what does love mean for a 2-year-old? Hey, you give me hugs. You should pass me snacks when mum's not looking. You play with me. But how much more deeper is my love towards her than she understands? She doesn't realize that since the moment she took a breath, I've been thinking of her. She doesn't realize I'm thinking and planning about her future. She doesn't realize I've thought about the guy who she dates in the future. And if he hurts her, how much I will hurt him. You know, I've thought of all of these things. You see, my love is infinitely deeper than my daughter's understanding of my love for her. How much more is God's love for us? Infinitely more than our comprehension of it. And so often, I think, in our walk with God, we forget. And we don't come to Him nearly as often, nearly as quickly as we should. And our God is our Heavenly Father, and not just some distant deity. I love this quote from Timothy Keller. It's probably my favorite quote outside of the Bible. It says, the gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dared hoped. My second point, it is undeserved. We have received the spirit of adoption. You didn't earn the spirit of adoption. We received the spirit of adoption. One of the things when I tell people, hey, I'm adopted, I was adopted from 1 day old. The next question that they always ask was, hey, have you met your birth parents? And I'm like, yes. And the very next question was, how is it? Awkward. You meet someone that you're meant to have this deep bond with. I didn't really feel anything. This is a photo of me when I've met my real mum and my grandparents. When I was about 21, 22, I later found out that my mum is a canteen worker at a school and earns about 50 cents Australian an hour. I learned so many other things about my life, and as a young child, I actually had something called a cleft palate. Okay, you might see people with cleft lips, you know, when their lips aren't fully formed. I had a cleft palate, the roof of my mouth, which meant that if you push like firmly on my mouth, you could push through it, like it's not fully formed. So they took a piece of skin, hopefully not for my butt, and they put it to the roof of my mouth, and they did, like, I've had 3 major surgeries on my mouth during my time, and I might sound like I have a cold. That's just a permanent thing for me. But as a child, I actually couldn't speak up until the age of 5 when I had this operation. I couldn't form words properly because the resonance in my mouth didn't make the word sound properly. So my life should have been in poverty and someone who couldn't talk. And instead, I was adopted by an amazing family. I've had a great education. I have had so many good things happen in my life. This came to, I had this realization on my wedding day when I'm standing there, and by the grace of God, my adopted mum was at my wedding sitting next to, my biological mum was at my wedding sitting next to my adopted mum, and my wife is walking down the aisle, and it dawns on me that I'm living a life that I don't deserve. I'm actually living someone else's life. And that the blessings that I have received have nothing to do with me. That I didn't earn it, I don't deserve it. In fact, I should be somewhere making minimum wage and barely getting by. And yet by God's grace, I've been given riches upon riches. Now we are, as Christians, living a life we do not deserve. And I don't know whether or not, like, I don't know whether or not you can remember when you weren't a Christian. Like, that is such a world apart that I know if I wasn't a Christian, I would definitely have a failed marriage. I would definitely have pursued my own interests and my own desires, which would have led me down a terrible path. And that is what the life I have, and that's the life that I would have deserved. And yet, God has given me so much more, and us so much more, as we pursued Him. So what does God give us? He gives us forgiveness. In 1 John 19, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That on the cross, all our past, present, and future sins are gone. That in Him, we are made new before God. How good is that? We can receive forgiveness. We can give forgiveness. We have freedom. In John 8:36, it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." You see, our God is not one that says, "Hey, I want you to just struggle. I want you to get by. That issue you have with depression, that sickness that you have, yeah, I just want you to manage it, you know." But actually, God says, "I want you to have freedom." We have peace. In John 14:27, I love this verse as well. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." How easy is it today to get worried about the future? Rising interest rates, wars popping up everywhere. Now, I'm not putting a political theory edge on here, but before Biden stepped down, I was like, how could you find only these two people out of 350 million to run the most powerful nation in the world? Now, I'm not saying what my opinion is on either side, but I'm like, that's the best we have. Like, and then our own politics is a mess. Schools are a mess. You know, you're thinking about retirement, or you're thinking about how am I going to get my funds to last me the next 10, 15 years. You know, healthcare is going up by 5 to 8% every year. There are so many things to worry about. And yet God says, "I give you peace. That you don't have to be anxious for anything. That as you put your hope and your trust in me, I will calm the storm that's in your heart." And you have a peace that people look at you and go, "Man, how are you so calm in all of this?" It's because I have Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going. I don't have anything to worry. Amen? Now, when I say amen, you say? Amen. Yes, that's right. Because in the original language, it means I agree and I'm still awake. Alright, we have eternal life, John 6:47, that says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life." This is not our life. This is not our final resting place. We have an eternal life. When I think about heaven, I don't know if this is weird or just like, I don't know, but I want a mansion that has the driveway where you don't have to turn around. You know, like the one that just has this giant U-shape. That's what I would like on my mansion. So if you ever want to come next door to me in heaven, let's have that type of driveway together. And then the last one, all we need for life and godliness. I love this verse because it's just kind of like everything else in case we've missed something. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His glory and excellence. God has given up, given freely. God has freely given us everything. In Romans it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give all things?" That verse always amazes me and dumbfounds me. And when I had kids, it amazes me even more. Because I love the church and I love you collectively as the church, but there is no way I give my kid for you. Like, if it was my kid or you, you're dead every time. Okay, it's not even a debate. And yet God gives his son for us. What an incredible thing. Like that, what type of love is that? You know, the Bible says that the angels look in on this with awe. Just like, what love is this that Christ has towards us and his church? Right. Last point. We are not a slave, but a son. You see, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, sometimes I think in being adopted, I formulated some weird opinions about myself. Let me go through two different examples. I remember when I was in Vietnam, my dad was working there. These are my dad and my mom. My dad was working there, and I remember my sisters took me out for lunch, right? And I'm sitting at the table with my... I have three white sisters. I'm sitting at the table with them, and I hear these expats or foreigners on the next table going, "Oh, isn't that nice? They're giving the homeless child a meal." Okay? Now, my instant thought was, why are my parents dressing me up like a homeless child? Anyway... And I have this other memory, right, of I went to France with my family, and we went to country France, like countryside France. Of course, the country of France, but countryside France. We're in this small little village. There is no other Asian person in like 500 kilometers radius. There is like an Asian free zone. And I'm sitting at this table with my adopted family there who are all white, and I'm there, and everyone in the restaurant is looking at us and like pointing towards us and having this conversation. And I remember just feeling more alone than I had ever in my whole life. I was with people who love me and care for me, but I felt by myself. And what's really interesting is that my whole life, my adopted parents have shown me nothing but love. But because of the way other people have acted towards me, I put other people's opinions onto my parents' opinion of me. And I think sometimes we do this with our relationship with God. We screw things up, we stuff things up, and other people's opinions go, you've been divorced? My man, God doesn't have grace for that. That's not true, God's never said that. Oh, you've stuffed it up again? You've looked at that stuff again? Oh, you know, your children have gone wayward? How could you call yourself a Christian if your kids don't love Jesus? And so we put that opinion of what other people say onto God, but God's never said that to us. In fact, God has just consistently shown his faithfulness to us time and time again. And so sometimes when things get really bad, right? Can I encourage you to ask the question, are you listening to other people or are you listening to God? Are you listening to other people or you are listening to God? Because God's saying, you're not a slave. You're not someone that I tossed to the side. You're not someone that I've forgotten about. You're not someone that I'm off saving the rest of the world and I don't care about what you're going through. He says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I care intimately about you. And I love you, and I'm faithful towards you. And I haven't given up on you. God has always loved you, and he has always been faithful. I love Lamentations where it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's make sure that we go back to the source. Back to Jesus. Back to the gospel. Back to the Bible. John 14:6, and this is the last verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. God, there are so many times in our life that we can forget your goodness. We can forget your love towards us. And so could you remind us today of who we are in you? That we are not orphans, we are not slaves, we are not forgotten, but we are sons and daughters. God, I in particular pray for anyone here that's struggling. Struggling with how they see themselves in you. Struggling to receive your love. God, would you be more real to them than ever before? Would you, by your grace, manifest your presence in their life? And would you speak to their heart and remind them of the truth? God, let us keep our eyes and our ears away from other people's opinions of you, and instead focus our heart on you. Let you be the one that defines us. Let you be the one who makes our identity. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.